If Euro Disney is an example of many things that can go wrong when commercialism runs amok, it has the distinct advantage of presenting a model for what not to do. Now, in the third part of our series, Changing the Arts of the State in Eastern Europe, we go to Hungary, to Budapest. There, cultural institutions are discovering they may need Western investors if they're to survive for future generations. On a side street, away from the main boulevards of Budapest, a big, homely cement building is the artistic home to hundreds of youngsters. This is Budapest's High School of Dance, where students train for professional companies. High-quality classical ballet instruction never stopped here during the Cold War. Generations of ballet students have come to daily class, just like these 9-year-old girls in their pink leotards and white tights, still wearing the black, soft-soled ballet slippers of beginners.
For the artist, for example, for the ballet, it was not so bad because we get a lot of ballet from Russia, the teachers.
Imre Dosa is the pride of Hungary's ballet community. Now retired from the stage, Dosa directs Budapest's High School of Dance and heads the company's National Dance Association.
This is the biggest problem, I think, in Russia. They had very good dancers, but no choreographers. It's a very old-fashioned, very old style.
Between classes at Budapest High School of Dance, slender teenagers in boots, tights, and thick, bulky sweaters stand chatting in the hallways, the girls braiding and coiling each other's hair, the boys brazenly puffing at cigarettes. Younger students run by, playing and giggling. The training these young dancers get is increasingly open to influences from the West, to modern dance styles ranging from America's Alvin Ailey to Europe's Maurice Béjart. But as wider vistas open to these youngsters, Imre Dosa says, their challenges will be much greater as well.
Some performance is empty house. So this is a big problem, and I think this is the problem between us and between the audience. So we want to show something and they don't come because maybe they haven't money for this, because the ticket price is so high now. It's very expensive if they want to go to the opera house or any theaters or the other place. So I think this is the problems.
How to compete in the new Hungary? Across the Danube River, a few miles from the High School of Dance, the Hungarian Dance Ensemble is rehearsing traditional gypsy dances, art that they market worldwide with some of the same glamour and energy projected by their virtuoso performance. In this huge studio, light pours in from 10-foot-tall windows. This is just a rehearsal, but the performers dance, in their own parlance, full out, kicking high, stomping passionately, twisting into fierce turns. The company's director, Zoltán Zarafsky, walks in, nodding so vigorously that his ample black curls bounce as he smiles at his dancers. He carries a packet of press materials that compare favorably with the promotional pamphlets of any well-funded Western company. The Budapest Dance Ensemble magazine, in full color and in 4 languages, describes the troupe's 35 years of bringing the folkloric tradition to the stage. The company's survival depends on frequent worldwide touring. Many Western arts groups fund themselves by touring too, but for most Eastern European companies, it's a new competitive culture. Some will follow the example of the aggressively marketed Budapest Dance Ensemble, but there's a price to pay, says director Zarafsky.
There is a danger, of course, that art will become commercialized, but to me, the dancing under the communist regime was commercialized. And that's what I want to change. Believe me, our budget will keep us from straying too far in the commercial direction.
The company budget is often the enemy of artistic experimentation. And yet, even at the Budapest Dance Ensemble, whose bread and butter is traditional dance, new and experimental choreography is a dessert they can still afford to savor. In a smaller studio around the corner from the Gypsy rehearsal room, three dancers work through several measures of choreography and progress, part of a modern dance whose inspiration is a poem by János Artényi. Their movements are large and bombastic, torsos twist wildly, fists jab upward recklessly. Occasionally, one dancer will leap high, then drop hard to slam his palms on the floor. This choreography would be seen as unsubtle, unsophisticated in the United States. But here, with the hard-driving gypsy dancing next door, the high pitch of this melodramatic style seems harmonious. The budget of the Budapest Dance Ensemble can flex to encompass new works. But across town, at a much larger organization, it takes more than just flexing to bring new works to the stage. The Hungarian State Opera House is a bustling, lavishly decorated structure. Paintings, murals, sculptures, and woodwork from what's said to be half of Hungary's artists adorn its walls. And a grand staircased entrance built solely for the emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire has just been restored after decades of neglect. In an office as dustily worn and richly appointed as the vibrant opera house itself, we find a large man with a gray ponytail. Former opera star Andrei Uta is elegant in a green silk jacket, purple shirt, and black trousers. And like opera directors the world over, Uta begins by complaining about inadequate funding for his opera house.
Természetesen valamivel több.
The sum of the funding is actually more. But if you take into consideration the inflation, the utility bills, the costs of materials for sets and costumes, these have gone higher and higher. So in reality, our funding is much less.
All this has left Uta concerned about retaining his audience in the new competitive environment.
És természetesen még valamit meg kell említsek, az a jegyáraknak a kérdése.
In the old system, tickets were very cheap, because the communists said that culture should be free to people. And now tickets are very cheap still, and yet the people cannot afford them.
Rendkívül alacsonyak voltak
a jegyárak, amiből nagyon nehéz emelni a jegyárakat, hiszen a fizetőképes keresztény szabadalom. And the price of fuel oil and meat are for people the most important subjects. It's hard to talk about the importance of art in our society, although I am sure that art is the most important thing.
For 30 years, an opera star himself, Andrei Uta became director of the Hungarian State Opera in 1989. He said that he accepted the job on the condition that the Ministry of Culture would not interfere with the operation of the company. Uta says that in his opera house, decisions are made by artists rather than bureaucrats, and there's freedom of travel for the singers.
Tulajdonképpen az opera kultúra.
During dictatorship, the performance never varied, because no one could go abroad. Now everyone can go wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And we are more fortunate in opera than, say, in theater, because La Traviata, or Rigoletto, or Faust cannot be idealized by politicians. That fact helped us keep the level of art quite high, even in the 50s and 60s. And it really was a shame that the Hungarian opera could not travel abroad in those days and show off our accomplishments.
Uta has definite ideas about the structure he'd like to see evolve in Hungary's financing of the arts.
Ezért sajnos mi még nem tudunk ebből kilépni, ebből a helyzetből, amiből vagyunk.
In Western
ezért
Europe,
mondom, és ezért
there are,
ragaszkodok és kapaszkodok
what, maybe 60 opera companies, all of them supported somehow by the state or the city. That's what I would like to see happen here, not what's happened in the USA. I don't want it to be like the USA, where funding for the arts is dependent on certain politicians and on the economy.
On the other hand, Ute himself performed under strained circumstances during the communist dictatorship, and he knows what it is to compromise just to keep his art alive.
Én maximál, én mindenre hajlandó vagyok. Az ördöggel is
I'm willing to do anything. I'm even willing to make a contract with the devil in order that the Hungarian opera will survive. And of course, I'm even willing to go out and find sponsors.
Some 4-5% of the company's $10 million budget now comes from private and corporate donors. Atop a tall bookcase near the door of Ute's office is a plaque the size of a street sign. It's an enlargement of a check for $8,000 made out to the Hungarian State Opera. The donor, Johnny Walker.
Természetesen ezt már csináljuk, hiszen
See,
az a bizonyos
the label shows the name of the whiskey producer
mutatja,
that funded one of our performances.
Melyik cég az a
that was for the Opera Ballet's production of Sleeping Beauty.
Ez a híres
now
cég.
I make choices about what companies and firms I take funding from.
Csak azért,
I myself prefer McDonald's, and it often occurs to me to go and have a meal there. It's a question of taste, what firms will allow to support us.
Money. Pénzhajtja a földkerekét, a földkerekét, a földkerekét. Pénzhajtja a földkerekét, a pénz, a pénz, a pénz.
Money. It makes the world go round, as they sing in the musical Cabaret. And it keeps actors and singers on stage, playwrights writing, and musicians playing. Artists rarely ply their trade solely to get rich. And when they get too poor, they're out of business and off the stage. One Budapest theater has devised an ingeniously funded endeavor to head off fiscal problems as an uncertain future unfolds. Sales are brisk today at the theater's ticket lobby for the Madak Sajhas company. We walk through the lobby and see, behind large glass doors, the unlikely accompaniment for the theater's success, the office of its travel agency. Travel posters line the walls here as agents arrange cultural tours, bus trips to Vienna that feature a candlelit dinner, and tickets to Phantom of the Opera. Some of the profits go to fund its popular productions like Cabaret and classic plays such as Shakespeare's Winter's Tale, which is in rehearsal today in a spare, dimly lit, wood-paneled theater just behind the lobby. Laszlo Gyorgyi is the theater director, and Carmen Stren, the businessman who invented the notion of paying for theater with travel agency profits.
It's not just only a travel agency. Some way we are a travel agency. We sell tickets. We sell sound material. CDs, discs.
And our theater has both prose plays and musicals.
So one day there's a Shakespeare play running, and the next day Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
And we play Hungarian musicals.
And other musicals like Cabaret.
Awesome, yeah.
The office of Joseph Gábor, Deputy State Secretary for the Ministry of Culture and Education, is the final stop on our tour of Budapest. It's a vast space which easily houses two huge palm trees, four chandeliers, and a number of polished tables covered with tall stacks of official-looking papers held together by rubber bands and paper clips and weighted down by books that topped each pile. Gábor spoke of the changes that artists had told us about, the fact that state support of the arts had made them available to everyone, the fact that artists and arts institutions now struggled to define their plans for future survival, their struggle to avoid over-commercialization.
We could use a Disneyland. The kids would really enjoy it. But seriously, we are trying in Hungary to find a balance between worthless mass culture and the very high art for the aristocracy. I read a very interesting study recently about the increasing number of hours that children spend in front of the television. In this study, an analogy is made between feudalism and what we may see of our future culture. In this picture, the feudal lords are the television networks producing commercial junk.
The Hungarians are planning to head off that scenario with ambitious programs of arts in the schools. That, says Joseph Gábor, includes intensive hands-on arts classes in the first four grades.
This will mean that small kids will take part and learn to enjoy the cultural activities. They will get emotionally attracted and then get mentally attracted to the arts. The kids will learn to enjoy and understand artistic values. In the future, if there is no audience for the arts, there will be no demand for the arts. So it is our top priority to teach children an appreciation for culture, to shape their sensibilities early in life.
One weekday evening, in a cavernous auditorium in downtown Budapest, about 1,500 children and many of their parents have come to hear Mozart's The Magic Flute. School arts education includes tickets to such cultural events. In a larger sense, the school children are here to help fulfill their nation's cultural ambitions. They're here, as Culture Minister Joseph Gábor says, to become emotionally attracted to the arts, and later to become intellectually involved. And that's the foundation upon which Hungary is building its cultural future. And that's it for this weekend's edition of Monitor Radio. Our technical director is Jeff Turton. Our studio director is Christopher Turpin, and George Bauer edits our program. Duncan Moon is the managing editor of Monitor Radio, and Dave Cray is executive producer. David Cook is editor of Monitor Broadcasting. Write and let us know what's on your mind. Our address is Weekend Monitor Radio, P.O. Box 146, Boston, Massachusetts, 02199. Or reach us via the internet. Our email address is radio@csps.com. Our program is made possible in part by Ceridian Corporation. Its businesses include Ceridian Employer Services, providing products and services that manage both the systems and human sides of the employment relationship. I'm Sharon Bascom.